Islam sentiments continue to rise in the West. Racist, Islamophobic Pegida rallies are taking place in Germany. Mosques are coming under attack in France. Muslims are being held accountable to root out extremism that Western governments have supported in the past through their own foreign policies. And legislation continues to be introduced to curb the rights of Muslims in the West. These are but some examples of what is increasingly being viewed as a fresh wave of Islamophobia. In this edition of The Debate, we try and get to the bottom of this. Why is Islamophobia spreading, and who stands to benefit?
The ISIL terrorist group has been terrorizing the world for over 1 year. The group first began its attacks against security forces and civilians, both Shia and Sunni Muslims in Iraq, and then expanded its terrorist attacks to neighboring Syria. Many members of the group are Westerners who come to fight in the ranks of the militant group from the US and European countries. A large number of ISIL members are from the so-called moderate armed groups backed by the West in the battle against Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. Many believe the terror group is even funded and armed directly by certain Western countries and their regional allies. ISIL has recently threatened to take the battle to Western countries and pledged to carry out terrorist attacks in the US and Europe. Recent attacks in France were carried out by people linked to the Takfiri group. ISIL portrays itself as a Muslim group and claims it is at war with the enemies of Islam. But the group's actions, including beheadings, have drawn condemnation from Muslim religious leaders around the world. The atrocities committed by ISIL and people linked to it have been used in campaigns seeking to incite Islamophobia and hatred towards Muslims. On Wednesday, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, issued a message on the issue to young people in the United States and Europe. Ayatollah Khamenei urged the young Westerners not to allow their governments and media to hypocritically introduce their own recruited terrorists as representatives of Islam.
This message is really long overdue and extremely timely. And recognizes all the problems and anxieties and the difficulties that exist within the Western sort of structures of Islamophobia and institutionalization of Islamophobia. And approachment of the youth directly is very important, because we know the media and the politicians are already tainted with being part of these structures of Islamophobia.
The leader asked young Westerners to study and research the motives behind the widespread tarnishing of the image of Islam. Why does the power structure in the world want Islamic thought to be marginalized and remain latent? The leader noted that Westerners should receive knowledge of Islam from its primary and original sources, namely the Quran and the life of Prophet Muhammad. He said the future of countries will be in the hands of the youth, and therefore it is important that they gain proper, correct, and unbiased understanding of Islam.
Let me start off by introducing our guest. Joining us from here, studios in Tehran, is Professor Izzadi. He's with the University of Tehran. And joining us from Washington is former U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense, Lawrence Korb. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us in this edition of The Debate. Professor Izzadi, I'll start off with you, if I may. Now, how pressing do you believe is the issue or even the phenomenon of Islamophobia to begin with? There are some in the West that have just dismissed it as a mere myth.
Well, I think the best people to answer that question are the Muslims that are living in Europe and the United States. As you may have reported, in the last couple of weeks in France, there are numerous mosques and Islamic communities that have been attacked. Dozens of Muslims have been harassed, and unfortunately, this is continuing. It is not enough for the Western leaders to condemn these type of attacks just by words, when at the same time they portray Islam in a very negative way in their speeches, in their discourse. when the media in Western countries is full of Islamophobic teens, when the movie theaters in Hollywood and elsewhere portray Muslims as terrorists, the combination of government agency, the people who run the media, and the ordinary people who are affected by this propaganda is causing a lot of difficulty for Muslims in these countries, and it's also causing a lot of difficulties for Muslims elsewhere, because it's this Islamophobic mentality that is contributing to the immunity that some Western leaders feel when they want to attack a Muslim country. They demonize Muslims, and then by demonizing Muslims, they justify invading Iraq, invading Afghanistan, using drones to kill civilians. And the idea is that if Muslims are subhuman, then killing them is okay. And unfortunately, this has been the discourse in the West for the last many decades, and I think it's time for it to stop.
All right, let me bring in Mr. Korb into this conversation. Mr. Korb, I put the same question to you. Is Islamophobia a concerning phenomenon in the West, or is it just a myth?
Well, I think it's something that has to be dealt with, because you do have, unfortunately, fringe groups that will try and use, for example, what happened in Paris as a way to go after a group of people. But I think it's very interesting that both President Bush and President Obama have never used the term radical Islamic jihadists. They've basically said, you know, these are violent extremists who sometimes are Muslim, sometimes they're other groups. And in fact, many times by what I call some of the right-wing parties, they will criticize, for example, President Obama for not using that term, because I think he realizes that if you do that, you brand a whole group of people and you feed into the anxieties of some of these fringe groups. Unfortunately, in Europe, particularly in France, you have Marine Le Pen from the right-wing party, who loves to feed on this type of thing to get the fears of people to help her own electoral politics. So, yeah, it is something you need to be concerned with. And I'd say both President Bush and President Obama have been very careful in using never using the term, even after 9/11, to say this was an attack by radical Muslims, for example.
All right, Professor, is that your response to that? Is it just fringe groups that take advantage of negative sentiments with regards to Islam, or is this a more mainstream ideology?
Yeah, I think it's very much a mainstream ideology. It's very much present in the discourse of the media in a number of Western countries. I give you an example. A couple of years ago, Hollywood produced this movie called Argo. It was about Iran. It demonized Iran. It demonized people of Iran. It was really not really concerned about the government of Iran. When you look at the movie, it has scenes of ordinary Iranians in the bazaar acting very violently and not behaving properly. Hollywood decides to give this movie an Oscar. And who is announcing the Oscar for Argo? It's Michelle Obama, who is President Obama's wife. This is just an example of how the politicians in the United States, with the help of Hollywood, with the help of other mainstream media, are portraying an image of Islam and Muslims that is far from reality. And they use examples of Muslim individuals that carry out terrorist activities. They use these examples to basically say this to their public, that generally Muslims act like this, and then they differentiate between good Muslims and bad Muslims in this manner. That good Muslims are Muslims that are in line with our policies, that support our foreign policy, and bad Muslims are everyone else. And so what they are trying to do, basically, is to create an Islam that is in line with their foreign policy objectives. And by doing this, they demonize the overwhelming majority of Muslims that are basically questioning foreign policies of these governments and are not engaged in terrorist activities. So when you see President Obama or President Bush not using the more extreme terminology when it comes to Islam and Muslims, is because they want to make a division within Islam, have good Muslims that are in line with their policies, so they don't want to alienate those, and then label everyone else a terrorist organization or supporters of terrorism. And this by itself is an act that is, I think, well calculated, and thankfully it's not really working out.